Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the broadcast today, the Senate Minority Leader James Settlemyer joins us. Plus on the Power Pundit panel, Fred Locken, Danny Thompson, and Trey Abney. It's all coming up next from Carson City on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
40 years ago, Hotel California and the theme from Rocky were number one on the pop charts, and D&D Roofing and Sheet Metal started on the road to becoming Nevada's leading roofing company.
I couldn't be more proud of what we've achieved. And over these 40 years, we've become an employee-owned company. So when you're talking to any employee, you're talking to an owner.
And here's to the next 40 years.
Happy 40th birthday, D&D Roofing and Sheet Metal.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
Pro Group Management offers workers' comp services to a growing number of industries. As businesses grow and change with the times, the need for a solid workers' comp program must be flexible and up to date. The evolving nature of regulations can make staying ahead of complex tasks challenging. But Pro Group Management simplifies the work so your industry can move forward and succeed. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Truck drivers are some of the hardest working people you'll meet, delivering over 70% of America's freight and 92% of Nevada's. When there's a natural disaster, they're delivering critical supplies to help those communities recover and rebuild. Every sector of the economy and our nation's military rely on truck drivers. So let's take a moment to say thank you. On the open road or city streets, our truck drivers are rolling to make our economy and our nation stronger. Trucking moves America forward.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shan, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shan.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, coming to you from Carson City. We're in the Capitol in the old Supreme Court, and I'm joined by the Minority Leader, State Senator James Settlemyer. A pleasure to have you back on the program, sir.
Well, it's a pleasure to be with you, Sam.
What a week last week. You know, there have been published reports of your relationship with State Senator Kelvin Atkinson, the former majority leader, that you had a good relationship. Did you suspect at any time that there were these things that he's been accused of going on?
You know, you always hope that this is the exception, not the rule. And I think the body as a whole, as an institution, does a great job. There are at times people that are bad actors. Individuals had told me a while back that there was, you know, possibly an investigation going on. And so you'd heard that, but, you know, a lot of times people get investigated. It doesn't necessarily mean they're guilty. So at that time, just brushed it aside and figured that, you know, what'll happen will happen. But nobody expected this to happen.
Assemblyman Tom Roberts was on the program, former Metro officer. He said this investigation had been going on for over a year at Metro before they turned it over to the FBI. I was surprised that the new majority leader was not aware of this, that she had not been tipped off by Metro or the FBI as to what was going on.
Yeah, I have no idea when the new majority leader was made aware of the investigation, what was going on. But it was interesting. Different operatives had told me that the party had been scrubbing Facebook and Twitter, eliminating photos of the ex-majority leader from their records, basically wiping off the slate. And if you try to go to their Facebook pages or their Twitter pages and things of that nature, you don't really find any pictures of the former majority leader.
You almost immediately called for an investigation of the Democrats to root out any other corruption was there. What are your suspicions, if any?
Well, my opinion is that it wasn't a question of asking for an automatic investigation. I look forward to seeing the information to see what occurred. What do we need to do in our state laws to try to prevent things like this from happening in the future? You know, what loophole, or do we have a problem within our laws that makes this easy for individuals to do? And so we need to figure out how problems occurred so we can actually try to stop those problems. I also look at businesses, you know, you go back to Moose Arbery when he got in trouble, and Catherine, you know, gave him a slap on the wrist, you know, $100 fine.
This is former Attorney General Catherine Cortez Masto.
Right, current U.S. Senator. She only gave him $100 a fine to pay back a month, to pay back over $100,000 that were misused. And it was found out that he took checks from that were supposed to be deposited in his campaign and instead deposited them in his personal account. Well, I question that at some point, donors out there, that if they continually give checks and they see that they're not recorded on the campaign, isn't there some culpability there if you knew what was going on? Because back then, most all the lobbyists like, oh yeah, we all knew there was problems. Yeah, we knew things were going on, but they didn't say anything. And so we need to have the facts so we can actually figure out how to try to stop problems from this occurring in the future.
And to be honest, there were several emails that I received and texts last week when people were, you know, protesting what had occurred, saying these people are hypocrites. They knew what was going on all along because there was no way that the former majority leader could afford to do what he was doing in business based on his salary with the government, local government, and then the state government. And so it should have been obvious from his style of dress, his business, that there was no way that that money could have come from any other route.
Yeah, and individuals that indicated that, you know, I look at myself, I'm land rich and dirt poor.
Right.
So on a piece of paper, I'm worth quite a bit. Day-to-day operations, not so much. So in that respect, you know, as far as looking at other individuals and seeing how they live, you know, I didn't go to his house and things of that nature, but there were individuals that had indicated that he had a pretty nice house with a pool and things of that nature. I don't know his individual financings. You know, we're friends, but it wasn't like I went over his house for dinner all the time.
Have you spoken to him since all this occurred?
No, I've not spoken to Senator Atkinson after his departure. Talked to him on the floor, and then he was gone. And like I said, it was interesting. He was basically scrubbed by their party. Like I said, you go to the Facebook feeds, the Twitter feeds of all the members, the Democratic members, you can't see pictures of Atkinson anymore.
Welcome to the world of politics. I believe it was John L. Smith in the Nevada Independent over the weekend who brought up the fact that we have a citizen legislature that may be part of this problem. Do you view it as that, or do you look at this as, no, you know, we should be having honorable people serving in the legislature and these problems should not occur?
You know, I've heard of problems in other states similarly, not to this level and not the majority leader, but there have been problems in other states, you know, with individuals and they have full-time legislators. You know, some states pay over $100,000 a year to do this job, but it's a full-time job. And the way I look at it, if you look at our sister state next to us, to the west, they're over $100,000 a year, but they work every single year. I have the pleasure of representing 150,000 Nevadans in my senatorial district. My counterpart in California represents 1.3 million people. He can have that job.
All right, let's take a break. More with the minority leader when we come back.
Tamarack Junction is South Reno's hotspot with over 450 of the latest slots and video games. Sully Sports Bar, the Dining Car Restaurant, William Hill Sportsbook, and the Tamarack Steakhouse and Lounge. We're just north of the Summit Mall in South Virginia.
Yeah.
How do you shed some light on a better economy? Start with growth inspired by Valley Electric Association. We're a member-owned power company that puts Nevada first, and we're doing big things, like providing prosperity by securing renewable energy projects. For Nevada, that means more jobs and more opportunities, all for a strong statewide economy. In other words, together, we're doing powerful things. Visit us at vea.coop to learn more.
Hi, I'm Eric Robnett, owner of Home Energy Experts. Has this ever happened to you?
Honey, did you remember to turn down the thermostat?
Forgetting to set the temperature? Not fun. We can help. Our new smart thermostat keeps the temperature set for your comfort all by itself.
I'm feeling hot now.
To increase your comfort, go to homeenergyexperts.com for details. That's homeenergyexperts.com.
The signs and symptoms of cataracts can start out small with subtle changes in your vision. So don't wait. Be proactive and take your vision into your own hands. If you're experiencing the onset of cataracts or just have questions, contact your eye care professional or call Eye Care Associates of Nevada today. Dr. Hiss has years of experience specializing in the surgical correction of eye disorders and has completed over 84,000 vision-correcting procedures. At Eye Care Associates of Nevada, we'll change the way you look at the world.
The Tamarack Junction Steakhouse is known for signature steaks, handcrafted cocktails, and world-class wines. Join us Thursdays and Friday nights from 4:30 to 6:30 in the Steakhouse Lounge for live music, gourmet plates, and well-priced wines, just north of the Summit Mall on South Virginia.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with State Senator James Settlemyer. He's the minority leader in the Senate. There's been talk on this program, particularly from your colleague, Assembly Minority Leader Jim Wheeler, that there's a feeling of Clark County exerting unwanted power over rural Nevada. And it came up in discussions about SB 143, the gun background check bill. And there's been a lot of controversy since then, with multiple sheriffs, including yours in Douglas County, who are unhappy with both that bill and also the criminal reform bill. Do you want to address those concerns and how they sit with you?
You know, I don't think it's an issue of Clark County versus the rest of the state of Nevada. I think, though, it is unfortunately that we're getting an influence from other places. Some people move here from other states, and they have a tendency to want to bring some of those ideas with them. I just ask them to respect the fact that they chose to move to the state of Nevada. And whatever you do, don't turn this into the very place you left. And that's, I think, what the issue comes down. It feels like it's an assault on the rural way of life. And so where this assault comes from, it comes from other individuals move here from other states and have a different opinion about what a rural way of life is or what we should be doing as Nevadans. So I think that's where the problems stem. As far as 143, the bill is unenforceable. I said it on the floor. It's unconstitutional. You know, the courts are going to have fun with that at some point. I don't know when. As far as the local sheriffs, they're spread too thin. I had a bill one time to actually try to make it a possessionary crime for tobacco. I mean, it's insane in the state of Nevada that you cannot buy a cigarette till you're 18. But if you're 8 years old and you're holding a cigarette, that's legal. There's nothing that can be done about that. And I felt for the safety of the health of the children, the right thing to do is be able to give them a possessionary crime, a ticket, or at least take the cigarette away from them. You don't even have that legal right under Nevada law. So I put that bill forward. And the Sheriff's Department said it's unenforceable, and they went back me, and I couldn't get it through the legislative building. Then we got it through on a county-by-county basis. Counties have the right to implement that if the sheriffs step forward and want that. But if we can't enforce possession of cigarettes and minors, how are you going to enforce this crazy law?
There's an interesting situation because in my interviews with law enforcement on this program regarding marijuana, I've been very impressed by the approach of the police departments, not just in the state of Nevada, but also in Utah and Colorado, which is basically marijuana is now legal. We're changing, you know, our approach to this to deal with it in an adult fashion, not going after people because that's what we've always been doing in the past. And it seems like now we have a law that's been passed and sheriffs are going, well, we're not going to enforce that. How do you draw that line?
Well, on the marijuana issue, I don't think they've been enforcing it for a long time. Even before, you know, the state of Nevada chose it to, you know, state that it's medically and recreationally allowable. If you go back, most of the time the cops, it was a crime where if you got caught for something else, then you got in trouble. But it wasn't something I heard where the sheriff's department was going out looking for it. It was usually a situation where, oh, by the way, we caught you drunk in your car. Oh, and you have marijuana. We found out you were dealing cocaine. Oh, and you were dealing marijuana. So you were charged with a crime almost as an accessory to the other crimes. And so in that respect, I don't think they've been enforcing that one too hard for quite some time. But in this case, the facts are just almost impossible in any of these cases to look at. And they have the ability to look at all the other states. The other states that have the background check law, if you look at it, they maybe prosecute 3 or 4 a year, and the successful prosecution, though, is only like maybe one in, I don't even know how many, because I haven't found a case yet or been directed to a case yet that was actually successfully prosecuted. Because it's a misdemeanor crime, which means if you traded hands, the guns were traded 3 years ago, it's automatically outside the statute of limitations, because the statute of limitations is 2 years. So again, they have the wisdom and ability to look at all the other states and realize this isn't enforceable in other states. What would make us think in Nevada, with our limited resources and how far stretched we are, that we're going to enforce it here?
The criminal justice reform bill that's currently passing through. Your thoughts on this, because it seems on one side, the Democrats are looking at, you know, a prison population going up dramatically, therefore the cost going up dramatically, and dealing with laws that were passed many years ago when this country went through this whole tough on crime, which, by the way, included Democrats. If you remember, mm-hmm. Richard Bryan, when he ran for attorney general, stood there in those TV commercials with a jail cell closing that door saying he was tough on crime. That was the way this country was at that point. Have we overdone it? And do we need this reform? Or is this going too far, and that it is better for Nevada to spend the money eventually to have to build more prisons, put more people in jail? Or do we need to really take a look at this and fix it?
You know, I think there are some of the smaller crimes that need to be looked at and say, you know, these should also be civil offenses, the smaller ones. But some of the crimes they're discussing, no, I do not agree with them. I think that, you know,
for example,
they have different tiers within rape, and I believe some of those actually fall into these categories. And I disagree with that. And so in that respect, I think you need to have those crimes, and you need to have the prisons. It's just part of our society. If you violate the law, there needs to be a penalty, and it needs to be appropriate. It goes back to the previous subject.
Okay,
when
Catherine Cortez slapped
him on the wrist.
Okay, so you use the word appropriate. That's the mm-hmm. question then. Are the sentences that are being handed down appropriate?
Well, and I think that's up to the judges. I think too many times we have created, though, very strict truth in sentencing laws that have absolutely no ability for the judges to look at the individual situations. I'd agree with the idea that we should give some judges some more flexibility in that respect. But, you know, in the meantime, we have every group here from, you know, Mothers Against Drunk Driving demanding that we have stiffer crimes and stiffer penalties. So it's interesting to me, we have kind of a strange mix. You got some people saying make it easier, and other people saying make it harder. And we have to balance those two, and that's up to the body to try to figure out those answers. But the concept of basically freeing felons, no, I don't agree with. The crimes that are felons are meant to be felons. These are seriously heinous crimes, from burglary, arson, rape, robbery. So there are some terrible, terrible things that are on the list, and they should be on that list and should not be taken off.
And that's where we got to leave it. Please come back again before the end of the session. It's always a pleasure to have you on the program, sir.
Pleasure, Sam.
Thank you. And we'll be right back.
Dimitri Prine here for Design Outdoor. Come visit Design Outdoor's store and backyard to see our wide selection of fire pits, barbecues, and pizza ovens, natural stone water features and fountains, and frostproof pottery. Our store and backyard are located at 11600 South Virginia, just north of DeMonte Ranch Parkway. Visit designoutdoor.com or call us at 851-9499.
Can't do it. Stupid, like my mom.
We can't do anything at Mommy's because you won't pay child support.
Dad said you cheated, and he's not even sure he's my dad.
Mommy said you left both of us, so she isn't gonna let me see you.
I look just like my father.
I'm divorce attorney Marilyn York, and I may represent men, but hate has no gender, only casualties. Please, stop sacrificing your children in your war against your ex.
Hi, I'm Dave Newman. Remember me? I used to be the house detective, and now I'm a realtor, full-time at RE/MAX Realty Affiliates. A lot of people ask me, how's the market? You know what? It's fantastic. If you're even kicking around the idea of buying or selling, give me a call. Let's talk about it. Call me at RE/MAX Realty Affiliates and just ask for the guy who used to be the house detective, Dave Newman.
Everyone is talking about opioids, but they're not the only drugs that can be harmful if taken in large quantities or not as prescribed. You also need to be aware of side effects from anxiety drugs, muscle relaxants, sleep aids, and stimulants. Mixing prescription drugs with other drugs or alcohol can be dangerous. If you take Ambien with a glass of wine, it may be enough to stop you from breathing. Prescribed drugs can be just as dangerous as illegal drugs. Take medications only as directed.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we have a great Power Pundit panel. As always, Trey Abney is here. He's the managing partner with Abney Talking Group. Fred Locken, political science professor at Truckee Meadows Community College. And Danny Thompson, former head of the AFL-CIO, now a political consultant with 80,000 clients. Pleasure to have you all here. So, we're starting this new week, but I've got to ask you about the fallout from Senator Kelvin Atkinson having to step down. We had James Settlemyer on the program earlier today, and he was talking about you go to the Democratic websites, and Kelvin Atkinson is gone, scrubbed, no more. Your thoughts on how everything shook out afterward?
Well, I'm amazed how seamless it's been. I mean, they're back to a regular order of business like nothing happened. I mean, the day after it was kind of weird, and the day of it was certainly weird, but then after that, they picked the ball up and took off, and I'm really amazed how seamless it has been.
Is that not really the true way of politics, which is, if you choose to fight something, the media buzz around you just continues, and the internal buzz would have continued, but if you just get out, it's over, everybody moves on, and then you deal with, the legal fallout.
Right, well, that's my 40th year in the building, and so
40th.
Yeah, so I've seen some people, I've seen some scandals, and I've seen, some situations like this, and it's never recovered this quickly in my history.
Fred, do you think that that's because people saw this coming? That, a lot of the emails and texts I got were hypocrites describing the people who were saying, I'm shocked, there's gambling back there. That Rolex watches and expensive clothing and a bar, all based on a government salary followed by a legislative salary, was just too much for the amount of income?
Well, that's it. I think, there's always a whisper campaign of sorts, and sadly, not always the only example that might be used. I think what surprised me most about it was how candid he was. I mean, doing the apology, he could have simply resigned. I mean, that would be the normal path. But for those here that day, I mean, it was such an emotional presentation by him, and just literally a confession, an admission that he had done this. And I think there was a genuineness to it that people were unexpected by. He had to know that he was doing it, but his entire political career was finally unraveling in front of him. And that was a very dramatic moment.
Why do you think that he took the position of majority leader when he knew for over a year that he was under investigation, both by Las Vegas Metro and the FBI?
You stole my thunder. That's exactly what I was going to talk about. Danny used the term weird. It is weird. I mean, this is not an investigation. It just happened last week. And then a day, oh, my goodness, where did this come from, right? I mean, obviously, this has been going on for a long time. So the fact that, he raised money for his colleagues, and his colleagues took that money, and then his colleagues voted for him to be Senate Majority Leader. All the while this was going on, I don't know why he wouldn't have just stepped back. I don't know if he thought he could beat it. I mean, I haven't talked to him about it, obviously, but it's weird that he would move forward, and we're only 5 weeks in, so this had been going on for a long time, right? And that he would actually run for Senate Majority Leader and do that. It's an odd thing, and credit to Senator Cannizzaro, this is her second legislative session. Second legislative session in the building, and the fact that she is able to, again, Danny said seamless, absolutely right, step into that big role after having, over the past year, fought this recall stuff. Senator Cannizzaro has been very busy with a lot of stuff for a freshman legislator, and I think she's up to the challenge, and I think she'll do a great job.
Battle-tested, I would say, after all those court battles.
Yeah, and her job, a prosecutor, yeah. But the recalls, that was a battle, But it is amazing that, because this just didn't happen overnight. This has been going on for some time, and certainly he knew about it. There was no indication of anybody that I knew that knew anything of it Monday morning. It was very well kept
secret. Well, Tom Roberts knew because he came on the program and talked about it. I mean, because he's a former Metro officer. And like I say, it had been going on for over a year before Metro handed it off to the FBI, so it'll be interesting to see how it comes out. Wanted to talk to you, and again, I talked to Senator Settlemyer about this, which is rural sheriffs in Nevada have no desire to go through with the gun control reforms that were passed. Does this surprise you, or is this just rural Nevada saying, Clark County, you're not taking over?
Probably more the latter. I think that in many ways, I guess I wasn't surprised. Part of the problem was how quickly that moved through the legislature. Many had thought that, you know, this had been looked at by the Sandoval administration. They saw all kinds of red flags in terms of how to effectively enforce it. I would have thought more of a due process, but it had a feeling of being rammed through. So I think there was also a feeling of frustration, especially in rural Nevada. On the other hand, for those in that capacity who are sworn to uphold the law, I rarely remembered moments like this where they're basically confronting government. I thought Sandoval or Sisolak's response was good, that, you know, they have until January 1st to start this year with a lot of dialogue and see if there are something they can do to ameliorate this. But this is actually a very serious constitutional issue that's now brewing in Nevada, and it's relevant to the rest of the country as we talk about gun control and the Second Amendment.
Okay, and that's where I got to cut you off here, but we're going to keep you guys around for our next show, so we'll be right back.
A bird's eye captures its surroundings at different heights. At Brian Culpa Photography, we can make your imagination soar over buildings, parks, cityscapes, and beyond. Brian's images tell the story and get the job done. If you need a new perspective to tell your story, contact Brian today. Brian Culpa Photography. Experience the bird's eye view at brianculpaphotography.com.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
St. Ives Florist, for every holiday and every special occasion, for romance, custom home design. We have the largest selection of fresh flowers in Northern Nevada. And we also offer a large selection of unique gift items. Come see me, Lori Ann, at St. Ives Florist, 700 South Wells Avenue, or call me at 333-9190.
Take a look at Pro Group Management and see how your workers' comp requirements can be met head on. By taking a proactive approach, ProGroup can assure that your company is meeting or exceeding state and federal standards. As you move forward in your industry, ProGroup moves with you, simplifying regulatory tasks, clearing the way so you can get the job done, and look to your future success. ProGroup Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
You can now subscribe to the Nevada Newsmakers YouTube channel. Get all your shows sent to your phone or tablet or PC in living HD. We'll see you on the next broadcast.